What's happening, everybody? Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier inside the Game Bar and Grill at the Treasure Chest Casino here in Kenner. Gearing up for Thursday Night Football. The LA Rams will be hosting the Minnesota Vikings. And pretty big news for the Rams when you have both wide receivers coming back for them.
Yeah, let's see if they can block for Matt Stafford. Man, and, you know, he brought it up in the past hour. With Brian Flores, blitzes more than any other defense. When is, and that's always been his MO,
sure,
to come after you different ways. And with their offensive line hasn't been too good. Stafford better get rid of that football quickly. But you have two real weapons there in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. They weren't sure about how Puka would react, and so I guess everything in pregame worked out good for him. That he is active tonight. How much he plays remains to be seen, but certainly makes a big difference in their offensive attack. Now, can they keep Matt upright? It's going to be the issue here. Now, we'll say they're young kids up front. Jared Verse and Fisk, Brandon Fisk, they've played well up front for the Rams. Nobody can replace Aaron Donald. I mean, he's once in a generation type player, but those two guys from Florida State, both in their first years, they have really, really played well. But again, they got problems in the secondary for the Rams. Sam Darnold's been terrific. That was a great game to watch last week with
unbelievable
with
the turnaround he's really had, and it goes to show you sometimes you can't write someone off completely.
Yeah,
he's still sticking around.
It's so funny. Late last year, and I brought this up to Stink, Mark Slerf. Mark was the first one, and he told me this in one of the later ones at the end of the year. He had talked to Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? Sam Darnold's a guy that I think if he gets an opportunity with the right team.
I think we were all thinking he's crazy.
And, man, I was like, what? I think Charlie and I were doing the show that we just sort of looked at him. Did he say Sam Darnold?
Is that his relative?
All of a sudden, you know, Sam starts to hit because you knew he was going to be the bridge guy. It was going to be J.J. McCarthy. That's why you picked him in round one.
Right.
And then J.J. goes down with the knee injury, and he's lost for the year. So now it's all on Sam.
Sam, I am.
And, boy, Sam has played terrific. Dude, I'd like to throw the football to Jefferson. He's going to make a lot of plays. And think about maybe in a week or two, he's going to have T.J. Hockenson out on the field. He's still catching passes against the Saints. The Saints couldn't guard him at all. And, man, you know, TJ's a really good football player. He works out with a friend of mine in the offseason. He had told me the knee, you know, was pretty difficult to come back from. But looks as though he's either 1 week or 2 weeks away from hitting the field again. And he's a 6'7" receiver that can make plays downfield for. And you team that up with Jefferson and Aaron Jones drinking from the fountain of youth.
Yeah, another guy resurgence.
Because he was a good player with the Packers last year, especially late. But they decided, you know what, man, we're going to go after Josh Jacobs. You know, and so, okay. And he gets in there, and then Josh has played really good football. But Aaron Jones has really played some good football this year. And you talk about a veteran back who's taken a pounding. And, you know, we certainly brag about King Henry and Derrick Henry, and he deserves every accolade thrown his way. But Aaron Jones quietly has had a monster season for the Vikings.
Looking at some news for the LSU Tigers, a positive outcome right now. At least we're hoping we could end up seeing Chris Hilton back on Saturday.
I got to see it to believe it. But
right, exactly. Practice fully today.
Practice fully today, so we'll see if Chris can make it. Now, man, he's battled injuries. Looked as though he was going to come back. Had a bit of a setback, but now Chris looks as though he'll be back in the lineup. And you talk about a guy that can run. I mean, you talk about flat-out speed. Chris Hilton has it, and he's fast with a helmet and pads on. You know, because I've been around a lot of guys that are fast. Put a helmet and pads on them.
A little different, yeah, I get it.
Not quite as fast. No, Chris Hilton is fast with helmets and a pad. And it's funny, I talked to Garrett Nussmeier in the offseason, and he brought up Kyren, that he felt this would be Kyren's year, that he could take the step up and be the number one guy for LSU. And then he said, you know what, Chris Hilton, of how good he's been in the spring and also they worked together kind of one-on-one, him and Garrett.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm just telling you, he's in for a big year. Then he gets hurt and, you know, just hasn't been able to come back. But he gives you a big play element.
You add that to this offense for LSU? Wowee.
It should be pretty good there. And LSU's been lucky up front along the offensive line, too. No major injuries to that front five.
Right.
Because that is where it gets a little dicey.
Right, then you don't have that continuity in place.
No, my thing is that the second string guy, because you know who got hurt? The sixth man from St. Aug, yeah. The big guy. He gets hurt in practice. And so, but their front five starters have been able to withstand all this and not have any major injury. That's been a big part of Garrett Nussmeier's success as a passer.
Before we take a break, Mike, want to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Want to get to L.A. Cody on the line. What you got for us tonight, L.A. Cody?
Yeah, guys, what's up?
What's up?
I wanted to make a comment that I did some research through the league. And do you know that I'm not exactly sure because I just briefly scanned through the teams. But I believe there's eight teams that are 2-4, or between 2-4 and 2-5. There's several that are 3-4, but I'm just going to mention one, the Bengals. So my point with this whole conversation is their defense sucks, okay, the Bengals. A lot of the other, you got the Rams tonight, they're 2-4. You don't see anybody saying, let's get rid of Stafford. You don't see anybody say, let's get rid of Burrow. How much did they pay Burrow?
It's like $50 million a year. He's in that range.
52, 50. So, what I'm getting at, Mike, is you don't see anybody saying, let's fire the coach. I mean, I get it. We're 2-5, too. But we got just as many hellacious freaking injuries as everybody else. Why are we always the garbage of the league? Why is everybody always saying the Saints suck? They don't, what about all these other teams? Like, I don't understand. There's no parity. There's no one saying, well, the Saints aren't the only team. It's like everybody garbage is the Saints, but the Saints aren't the only team 2-5.
No, they got a lot of teams struggling.
The only team with 20 injuries on their roster. So, like you said, if you got guys out there that are basically flag football or high school, and they can't get acclimated to the speed, or they don't understand the formations, how is that the coach's fault? And why should we, get rid of Dennis Allen or even Derek Carr? Because both of them suck. What about Stafford? What about Purdy? Purdy's 2-4 or 2-5. You don't see anybody saying, let's get rid of him. You don't see anybody saying, let's get rid of Kyle, the coach for San
Francisco. Kyle Shanahan.
So,
Kyle Shanahan.
Shanahan. Yes, sir. So I'm just trying to – I want to get your take, both of y'all's take, on why is everything such a big deal with the Saints? But nobody's talking about the other teams are just as bad, if not worse, than we are.
Okay, if you do talk show radio in San Francisco or Cincinnati, you hear it there, too. I mean, there's a lot of beat of the drum.
Especially the madness, too, in San Fran with dealing with, Christian McCaffrey this season.
And so, that's the thing about local talk show radio. You sort of centered in on one team that you're really concentrated on. And we do look at kind of the full view, and there are a lot of teams that, have taken a real big beating. And then you look at the NFC North and how good they are. At that point, what you got, the Lions, who are 5-1, Vikings 5-1, Packers 5-2, the Bears 4-2.
It's like, what?
Okay, who's going to get left out?
Right.
Somebody's going to get left out of the mix here. And then you look at the NFC South. Atlanta and Tampa's 4-3. Right. The Saints, what, 2-5. And
good old Carolina.
Carolina. Oh, goodness. Well, we ain't got to go through that. They bad. B-A-D with two D's at the end. And even the NFC East, I think the surprise is the Commanders.
Oh, for sure.
Man, go in Dallas and do talk show radio. Goodness gracious.
Don't let Jerry do talk show radio, though.
Oh, man. Or go to Philly. And they 4-2. And really.
You know they're ready to run Sirianni out of town.
Exactly. So I think what you see a lot of times is the microcosm of doing it in that city. And you hear it all the time. And, you know, it's just part of the sports talk world that you're covering that team. And so they're going to take the biggest heat, and they're going to get the biggest pat on the back when they win.
And, shoot, we've already seen the New York Jets have fired their head coach and have, you know, let Aaron Rodgers dictating things over there.
Okay, you saw the owner, Mr. Mara, last night come out with the statement, my head coach and GM will be back next year. You know what that is? That's a stick of the middle finger to the Jets about, oh, you can do what you want in your dysfunction, Woody. We're going to stay pat.
Right.
But look what the Jets this year, the expectations, what they are, 2-5?
Right.
Oh, goodness.
AFC East looking pathetic, too.
With the Bengals 1-6, Miami, how many games they going to win this year? You know, God bless them. Tua's trying to come back. I just hope he can protect himself.
Cleveland, too, another disappointing squad this year. I thought they were going to be a lot better. And, yeah, man, Deshaun Watson looks like a guy that just really doesn't have it anymore.
And, you know, that was so crazy because when he came up, I remember Rick Venturi telling me, Mike, I'm just telling you, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. He is a guy that all the coaches and players hated to play against because he was so talented. And almost as though that year and a half, unplugged, he's not the same guy.
Oh, right.
Totally not the same guy. And then he goes down with the injury, and you know what Cincinnati is right now, 3-4. Their defense is every bit as bad as the Saints' defense.
That's a head
but they
coach
got Joe Burrow.
About. That's a head coach in Cincinnati I'd be worried about him sticking around.
But they got Joe Burrow and Jamar.
Yeah,
it gives them a fighting chance. But their offensive line, man, Saints don't have a good one. Their offensive line's El Stinko, too. It ain't very good. Everybody got their problems, except a couple teams. And even the Texans, man, you heard DeMeco Ryans say, we got to do a better job of protecting, you know, our star quarterback. We got to do a better job. And we've used different combinations. It's the players. And this is coming from a former player.
Right.
He sort of said, hey, it's their issues, and we got to do a better job, or we got to get people that will do a better job.
We got a big city World Series on tap starting tomorrow. It's going to be the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees. We're going to get into a little bit of that. MLB, former MLB pitcher, Scott Sanders, always great insights from him. We're going to talk to him after the break. So stay tuned right here on WWL. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. Be right back with more after this. Yes, indeed. And we're talking about big games. Nothing going to be bigger than a Major League Baseball. The World Series starts tomorrow night. And I kind of mentioned it yesterday, the tickets for that the series is absurd. It's all on the line.
That's ridiculous.
It's on the line of getting into the Superdome for Taylor Swift.
and the price is the same.
And you're seeing standing room for $1,000.
What? I ain't standing for nothing no more.
$1,000 standing room. That's unbelievable.
Man, that's unreal.
Helping us preview this matchup, a good friend of the program, former MLB pitcher Scott Sanders joining us now, talking Yankees versus Dodgers. Scotty, how you been, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Steve. How's it doing? How's it going, Mike?
All right, Scott. Hey, listen, I'll sell you a couple of tickets for $1,000 a piece, Scott. You willing to stand up for that time or what?
Well, since my favorite spot to watch any sporting event nowadays is on my sofa, I will definitely pass.
I'm with you.
Hey, you and I both, brother. I can see why we partners because we both thinking the same on that. Scott, you've had to go up against, man, some great hitters in your time, and one of them, his last name was Bond, so I ain't got to go too much farther than that. But you see Ohtani and just his all-around game, and Bonds was like that too. I'll be honest. I saw the skinny one, then I saw the heavier one, and he was an all-around guy. And Ohtani, is there anything he can't do out on a baseball field?
Man, I tell you, Ohtani is a freak of nature. I still remember, you know, he's been over here now, I don't know, maybe he's been 5, 6, 7 years. And I remember when he first came over, you know, in Japan, you know, he was actually a star pitcher, and he was a DH. And he, believe it, I played for Nippon Ham Fighters, the same team he played for. So I always followed him coming up, you know. And, you know, he would always hit 19, 26 home runs, 27 home runs. And the parks in Japan are so much smaller. So when he first came over, I was doing a podcast years and years ago, and somebody said, how many home runs do you think he hit? I said, well, he hit 26, 27. Or he'll probably hit 18 to 19 here. Maybe one day we'll hit 25, but it'll probably just end up being a pitcher. I don't know if his battle play because it might be too slow. And, man, was I wrong, man, because that dude can do it all. I mean, he's 6'5". He can run. He's an athlete. He's just – and I'll be honest, I think he's having more fun hitting and not pitching than ever. So, I mean, I don't know when his arm gets back, you know, how dedicated he's going to be wanting to pitch, you know, to be honest. I think he's had more fun this than he's had playing baseball in his life probably.
You think about Ohtani on that team, if you took him off, how underrated Mookie Betts is. My goodness, how did the Red Sox let him walk away? Man, you see him in that. He's sort of an all-around guy too. He can play second base, shortstop. He can play out in the outfield. His hitting is outstanding. Great defensive player. He can run the bases. Your thoughts as a Major League Baseball player to watch Mookie, and he's not a young guy anymore. No, he's 32 years old. That's sort of young for us, but I'm talking about as a baseball player, Mookie's arguably, he is the second best player that's not a pitcher, so to speak, on that Dodger team.
No, I agree. Once again, I was doing a podcast earlier this year. We were talking about Mookie Betts moving to shortstop. And I told him, I said, listen, Mookie Betts is a great athlete. I don't see him being able to play a high-level shortstop going from not playing it since high school maybe, you know. Played second base last year for the first time in 6, 8 years. I said, so I don't see him sticking in. Once again, was I wrong? That dude took over at shortstop. Looked like he'd been playing shortstop for the first 9, 10 years of his career. I really think besides before this year, you know, Ohtani, obviously this year was the best player in baseball. But if you go back the last couple of years, Mookie Betts has been the best all-around baseball player. Trout was it probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. But since Trout's, you know, injuries and downfalls, Mookie Betts has taken over. And obviously this year, Mookie Betts, he was hurt a little bit. You know, had a couple unfortunate injuries. But his year was down. But overall, the best athlete probably in baseball. Don't know if you guys know, but he's got like 6 or 7 300 games bowling as well. The dude averages like 260 bowling. I mean, he's just a freak. And basketball, you know, football, just he's the real deal. And obviously, Ohtani outshining him, but they have the two best players in baseball in their lineup.
Scott, when you see a lineup like the Yankees, obviously with guys like Aaron Judge, a Juan Soto, and a Giancarlo Stanton, as a pitcher, how do you approach those guys, man?
Well, it's very easy. Every time when you have meetings, basically pitchers meet before every series, but you also sometimes you kind of re-prep before each game. And those four names, Ohtani, Betts, Soto, Judge, the one thing the pitching coaches, the analytic guys say, what they say is, do not let these four guys beat you. You know, Giancarlo Stanton can beat you. Gleyber Torres can beat you. But do not let Judge, Soto, Betts, or Ohtani beat you. And that's basically – so you really try to pitch around them, hopefully get themselves out.
Yeah, you look at the numbers that Judge has put up. It's been truly unbelievable. You start – you know, they're starting to mention him in the Yankee lore with the likes of a Joe DiMaggio, you know, and you see that with Reggie Jackson, Babe Ruth.
Okay, you got to win something, though.
Right, exactly. It comes down to that. But really unbelievable the season, obviously, Judge has had this year.
Yeah, no, so I just said a second ago that Ohtani and Betts are probably the best two players in baseball. I have to put Soto and Judge in that same league. Those four guys, obviously, it's kind of weird. You look at it, the best two players in the National League or in the Dodgers, the best two players in the American League or in the Yankees. Obviously, all you know, those guys have carried those teams to where they are. And believe it or not, Judge has had a, you know, kind of slowed down in the playoffs, but like I said earlier, not many people are going to pitch to him to let them beat him. But Soto is the one that's really impressed me because I know for a fact they're saying don't let Soto beat us, and he's still finding a way to beat him. But, you know, Brad Ausmus, who's a good dear friend of mine, he's the bench coach for the Yankees, and he said that Juan Soto has the best bat control that he's ever seen besides Tony Gwynn. And Tony Gwynn, obviously, we know was one incredible hitter. But so that means he thinks Soto's that type of hitter with plus power, which Tony didn't have. So that's a really, really impressive statement.
You look at this matchup, too. Obviously, a ton's going to come down to pitching. Who do you feel has the edge in this matchup?
Man, you know, that's a tricky one. To me, the one key for the Yankees, Gerrit Cole, he has to win two games in the series. If he doesn't win two games in the series, I think the Dodgers have the edge. You know, the Dodgers normally are starting pitching rich. Right now, they are not. That is not their forte. You know, they have Jack Flaherty's going to probably start game one. And I'll be honest, they haven't even named anybody past that game one. That's never a good sign, you know. I think starting pitching, I think the Yankees have the edge. Bullpen, I think the Dodgers have the edge. But two names. Yankees have to have great starts from Rondon and Gerrit Cole. Schmidt is a wild card. Gil, what they call him, Heel, he's a wild card. Heel is probably the best stuff of any of them. But, you know, he's been hurt. He's just coming back off injury. But he won 15 games this year. So he had a great rookie year. But I think the Yankees have the starting pitching. Dodgers have the bullpen. So it just really depends on how games fall.
Scott, definitely appreciate the time for you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. And I know you'll be enjoying all the games as we will as well leading up to this monumental matchup. I think it's, the 12th time in history, Dodgers and Yankees meeting in the World Series.
Scott, one more question. It just popped in my head. Do you know the GM for the Dodgers? He went to Tulane, didn't he? He was a pitcher there.
Yes, he did. He's done an incredible job. He's got assistant GMs also with the Tulane guy as well. Yep. And then Jack Creston's one of his pitching guys who went to Tulane as well.
Man, he got the whole Green Wave staff over there. but listen, he has spent a lot of money, but now he's fixing to maybe cash in.
Yeah. Andrew Feldman.
Feldman. He is
creme de la creme. He is one of the top GMs in baseball, which is very proud of Tulane to be able to say he's a wave, green wave, you know.
The last time I saw him, I said, I know you went to Tulane, but I know he's a Yankee. I think he's from Massachusetts or something. I know he's from up north.
Yep, he is. He definitely is. Yep, he is.
Always appreciate you, Scott. Thanks so much for the insights. Talking World Series a little bit right there. Who you like in this matchup, folks, Yanks or the Dodgers? Curious to know the local take on this one. I know we got a big Atlanta Braves and Houston Astros following. Also the Cubbies, too, in New Orleans. And the Dodgers and Yankees, I'm wondering how Louisiana split.
Yeah, because, think about it. When cable first came in.
Right, I know.
WGN and TBS. Atlanta and the Cubs. You figure the Braves, Cubs, man, and everybody watched it. You didn't have 5,000 channels that you could catch all the other games that they really had a following.
No, when I first moved down to New Orleans, I was taken to a Cubs bar, and I was like, what is this in New Orleans, a Cubs bar? We are taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino at the Game Bar and Grill. Get ready for Thursday Night Football. We're going to step away, be right back after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, folks, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Just download the Odyssey app and follow Tommy Tucker Sports Talk, Newell Norman, whoever. We realize you can't always listen to the entire shows live on WWL, so Odyssey made it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show, any of the shows on WWL. Download the free Odyssey app today. Take control, or just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Someone I know has got that Odyssey app on the line with us right now, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jimmy and Gretna. What you got for us, Jimmy? Are you in line for those Taylor Swift tickets tonight?
Don't tell me you're getting them off the secondary market.
Now. Hold up. Guys, I just posted on the Facebook Marketplace my liver's for sale between now and tomorrow. It's a one-time-only deal. I'm trying to trade this liver for some tickets, okay? And nobody's even biting on it, to be honest with you. So now it's not looking good. My daughters want to go. My wife wants to go. We're going to see. Maybe Sunday. You know, everybody will be watching the Saints game. Some tickets will drop down. But, look, I wanted to say something about the spectrum of athletics down here. We know where the Saints are at. They're 2-5. I'll say this. Brian Kelly's done a great job. Should have won the USC game. But considering the injuries, I looked at this year for LSU and Tulane as a rebuild. Because, you know, you're replacing the Heisman quarterback in Jaden Daniels. You're replacing the NFL quarterback, a draft pick, in Michael Pratt with Tulane. Sumrall's done a great job. They, you know, they might win 9-10 games. The quarterback's played really well for a freshman at Tulane. And Nussmeier's been a lot better than I thought he'd be. Going into this big game this Saturday against A&M, with the injuries to Emory and Perkins, I kind of was like, oh, man. These are big-time leaders on the team. I thought they'd kind of collapse, but they beat Ole Miss, and now they're starting to believe in themselves, and young guys are stepping up. I went to the Pelicans game last night. Man, I hate to see Murray get hurt. He was lights out, almost had a triple-double. And Missy, the rookie for Baylor, I think that had a lot to do with Murray and his ability to facilitate the ball. It was dominant. He was blocking shots, Mike and Steve. He was scoring baskets. But, man, I don't know who's – my question to you guys is this. Who do you see stepping up at point guard for the Pelicans? And is it going to be like the center position by committee? You know, who do you guys see stepping up while Murray's hurt for a few months?
I'm curious to see if they might experiment with that point Zion a bit more.
You saw a bit of it last year.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Before he got hurt. You know, maybe CJ takes a bigger role into that.
Right.
I don't really know, Jim, because what you built was basically this was for Javonte Murray to run everything, to be the facilitator. Everything run through him. And to have that type injury where he'll be out a couple months, man, that's difficult. So it won't be one guy. And I think you may see them sort of play around with combinations that would fit better. But that's nobody on this team that can get the ball in the right hands like Murray could. Either that or you wouldn't have made the trade.
Right, that's why they went after him, exactly. Curious, Jimmy, what were your thoughts on the crowd at the Smoothie King Center?
Oh, he dropped.
I was just wondering how the Smoothie King Center was last night for that home opener, season opener, I should say, for the Pelicans. It looked like a pretty good crowd there.
It looked like a really good crowd.
And you definitely heard them through the TV, too.
Yeah, and again, man, we had somebody on from Chicago yesterday, and he was like, all I can tell you is the Bulls ain't good. Yeah, so, man, I had a few
tell
people.
Tell me how you really feel.
I had a few people text after that. Mike, I know where I'm putting my money now. No, if a guy from Chicago is saying they're not very good, I know exactly where I'm putting my money.
We are taking a break here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino and the Game Bar and Grill. Like I've been saying, Thursday Night Football coming up 7 o'clock right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We will be back with more Sports Talk right after this, so stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to remind all you Tiger fans, LSU takes on the Aggies Saturday at Texas A&M. WWL's coverage will start 2 o'clock. You can join Mike Dettillier, Herb Tyler, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. You guys at the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Very jealous there.
Yeah, come see us at Acme.
Always a great time with Mike and Herb. Have 16 surround sound TVs, drink specials. Plus, life is way more fun with seafood. Catch LSU's pregame then at 4:30 with Chris Blair, Jacob Hester. Kickoff 6:30. Tigers and Aggies. 10 hours exciting LSU football starting 2 o'clock Saturday. WWL and, of course, the free Odyssey app. We're winding down here getting ready for Thursday Night Football. I'm not sure. Was this in our pick six segment, guys? Did we have this game marked down or no?
No, we did not.
No, we didn't pick this one.
Still feeling good, though. I'm not sure the line in this, but for me, Minnesota, I'm taking them. I'm riding that hot hand over there. I just feel like it's really been amazing the season Sam Darnold has had, and I just really love their head coach over there. He's really done a phenomenal job and think they're on the right track, obviously.
A big part of this game is, can the Rams protect Matt Stafford?
Big question.
Because I'm telling you, Brian Flores is coming after you, and he's going to catch you from the edge, from the inside. He does a lot of things to try to confuse a quarterback. Well, Stafford hasn't seen everything, but my thing is, that's their offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you confuse one guy, and he comes in there. Okay, Matt ain't 25 years old no more. You don't move quite as well. I think that's a big key to this game. Sam Darnold has played great, and certainly Jefferson, Aaron Jones, we talked about it. But their defense, underrated-wise, would – and after a lot of losses, Charlie and I talked about this in the offseason. Look all the people they lost on defense, and yet Flores has got them playing at a real high level.
Definitely looking forward to this matchup. Way to kick off the week. And then, obviously, Sunday, we've got Saints at Chargers. Luckily, the black and gold are getting a little bit healthier heading into this matchup because, man, oh, man, I know at the point after, come the end of the game, I do not want to be talking about a six-game losing skid.
Yeah, you and Abe, y'all with you until
rough.
1 o'clock, man. That's difficult. Well, at least y'all ain't got to work till 1 this week, even though it's a 3 o'clock game.
Want to thank everybody here at the Treasure Chest Casino. It's been an awesome time, as usual.
Yeah, come on down. See us at the game.
We'll be back again here next Thursday. Why don't you stop by saying goodbye for tonight. Steve Geller, along with Mike Dettillier, Charlie Long, Luke Augusta. Appreciate you all, Hoodats, and talk to you soon. Have a good night.